Rebecca's laughter floated above the symphony of clinking chain and creaking wood as the British prison ship rocked gently at anchor. Strange he would dream of his wife's laughter. He'd heard little enough of it during their brief marriage. Her affection had amused at first, then merely bored him. And it had taken all his skill to hide the truth from her. The lady of genteel birth would not have exhibited his wife's curiosity nor her persistence. But his wife was neither genteel nor a lady. Philip Parcell drew in a thin breath, laboring to ignore the barbed pain that snaked through his chest. They would leave him to die whether or not he told them where he hid the list. So he didn't tell them. Not when they broke his ribs and his breath grew watery. Not when the knife carved bloody tattoos across his flesh. Philip squeezed his eyes shut to erase the memory of his torturous smile, his small, wide-spaced teeth. Each morning, the redcoats gathered the poor sods who died overnight and dumped them overboard into the shallow waters off the coast of Brooklyn. The skulls of the ship's dead lined the beaches as thick as pumpkins in an autumn field. Parcell accepted the inevitable. Dying would be the only way he'd leave the ship. He'd have the satisfaction of leaving the redcoats to wonder, did the list really exist? Would it find its way to General Washington? His silence was his revenge. He swiped at the swarming flies and the shredded sleeve of his shirt fell from his arm. All he'd wanted was enough silver to buy back his family's estate, or, at least, the London townhouse. He'd only wanted to go home, to England. Anyone would have done what he did. He could still beat the men who called loudest for freedom and silently sold information to the British. Men like himself. Men like his friends. He'd offered to sell their names to Washington. Within a week, British soldiers had ambushed him in the neutral ground, the sliver of land that hugged the Hudson River's western shore. They tightened the rope around his chest. The pain had sliced his ribcage as they heaved him onto the horse. No. The pain was real. It dragged Philip back to the present, back to Rebecca. What if she didn't look for the list? What if she didn't find it? Philip strained to turn. The prisoner lying next to him looked strong enough to survive. His breathing was deep and regular, and there was something alert about him, as if he was ready to run if the opportunity arose. He would do. Philip grasped the man's wrist. Go somewhere else to die. The prisoner shook off Parcell's hand. Then he hesitated, pushing a small tin cup of water across the narrow space that separated them. Here, drink this if you can. Philip reached for the unexpected gift. Prisoners were only allotted one cup each day. His hand shook. He spilled more than he drank. He was thirsty all the time now, but at least the hunger that had haunted him for the past few weeks was gone. I hit something. Not on this ship. Philip gasped for air with short, shallow breaths that made him dizzy. Find my wife. She has it. Stop. Breathe. Get it to Washington. Something rattled in his next breath. He'll pay good money for it. Sterling. Not paper. Next you'll be bragging you and King George go drinking together. Bright green eyes peered out from the mask of dirt that covered the prisoner's face. The clack-clack of boot steps grew louder. A British guard sauntered by. The two men stopped speaking until he was out of earshot. What could you know that's worth money to anyone? White teeth gleamed through a sardonic grin. Spies. In Washington's midst. Punctuated by coughs and shuddering breath, Philip told his story. The other prisoner was silent, as if sifting for the truth in what he heard. Finally, he asked, What's her name? How do I find her? Philip thought he heard Rebecca laugh again. Then the pain took him and his eyes closed. Sometime later, he whispered, Her name is Rebecca Parcell. She lives in Morristown. Tell her I'm sorry.